much, Rabbi Schnall. Thank you very much, Rabbi Schnall, for also helping us out today. Those who are tired and want to sit down, there's a couple of seats here.
The only reason I have all these forms is because my memory is not nearly as good as Rabbi Belzon, so I have to see some of the things inside. But just my Rebbeim, a lot of my Rebbeim in this room, Chaverim. The Megillah is a really awesome story. It's a really awesome story. It's a lot of drama, a lot of intensity, there's a lot of suspense. The only reason that we miss out on that sometimes is because as soon as you open the book, you already have like the spoiler alert going on because you know what happens in the end. So we know what happens in the end. So it's a lot harder to stay on the edge of your seat and take it slow as you move through each scene of the Megillah. That's number one. Number two, we also try to find the minion that is going to finish the Megillah faster. So you don't even give yourself a chance. Rabbi Rapp is shaking his head yes. So it has been up to Paskin that is what we try to do. So if you're looking for the 18-minute matzah, 18-minute, you know, mismo gula gula, 18-minute matzah, 18-minute purim, so you're going to miss out on the story because it's over before you know it. There's a guy in my shir, I wasn't going to say his name, I didn't want to embarrass him. But he's not here, so maybe he won't be so embarrassed. But Daniil Genachowski, okay, Jenna, as most people know him, he sent me last night a PDF with 55 pages of notes that he took going through the Megillah, Shana Alfutz Chabrusa, just things like that came to them because they actually spent time before Purim to read the Megillah slowly. You have all afternoon today, we'll say. Choose one parak to look at a little more closely than you have in the past, and I guarantee you, you'll uncover pearls, and you'll appreciate the story and the drama more than you ever had before. So I want to focus on one conversation in the Megillah, which really is dramatic. And if you ask me, maybe this is one of the most intense dialogues in all 10 Prakim. And basically, just catch us up to speed, Perek Dalet, the word is out, the people in Shushan know about the decree of Haman, they know what's being planned, they know what the plot is, how the plot's going to unfold. And as the word gets around, everyone's upset. As Rabbi Belzon described before, Mordechai is walking around Shushan Sakva Efer. Finally, the word gets back to Esther as well. Esther sends a message to Mordechai, what's going on? What's bothering you? Fill me in. And Mordechai does just that. He sends her a message with all the details of what Haman plans to do. We know the psukim, but again, we have to read it more carefully. It says, Vagil Mordechai Eistivere Esther, Vayomer Mordechai Lahashav Esther, okay, I'm sorry. Before, Vatomer Esther Lahasaf, Atizavel Mordechai, Kol Abde Melech, Amedina Samelech, Yodim Asher, Kol Ishri, Ishasher Yovo Amelech. As the conversation ensues, right, so Esther is told by Mordechai what the threat is. And Mordechai says, okay, so time to take action. You're in the highest position of political power to try to influence the Malchus. And being that that's the case, it's up to you to try to make a difference, try to thwart Haman's plans. And the problem that she responds to Mordechai with is that I can't go. I can't show up to Achashverosh. If I even show up without being called, he's gonna knock off my head. How could I have so much chutzpah? And what Mordechai says back is astounding. Vayomer Mordechai lohashav Esther. Mordechai says, please bring the message back to Esther. Al tedami benafsheich leimolid beis hamelach mikol yehudim. Literally translate, al tedami benafsheich. Don't even imagine for a second. Don't get this idea in your head. You're going to escape, that you're going to survive the threat that is now upon Klal Yisrael because you're in the king's house. You're going to sit quiet over there while everyone gets killed, and you think you're going to survive. If you're silent now, at this critical moment, this critical junction, Mordechai was speaking with Ruach HaKodesh Mesama. HaKodesh Baruch is going to save us regardless. Tremendous emuna on the part of Mordechai. Right, on the one hand, he's walking around with Sakva Efer, but he also had complete bitachon that Kodesh Baruch Hu was going to save the day. Revach v'atzol yamel Yehudim imakom acher, v'atu v'esavich kovedu. The people are going to lose, people are going to get lost, people are going to die, or ultimately you and your family. Mi yodeim le'is kazos yigat l'machos. And who knows, the whole reason you got this, you were selected to be the next queen, to replace Vashti, was simply because of this opportunity to go and represent Klal Yisrael to the Melech. So Rashi says, what does it mean, al-tadami b'nafsha? Don't imagine that you're going to come out of this safely, even if we don't. Al-tachshavi kemo v'haya kasher dimisi. Don't even think. Al-tadami b'nafsha, al-tik svura limol b'yom hariga b'beis hamel. Don't think that when everyone is outside and there's an uprising against the Jews, you'll be safe in the palace. Shein at rotzel sakin atzmech achshav. You don't want to endanger yourself now. Al-asafik lovo amelach, on the possibility that maybe if you come to the king, Shalom Bershus, he's going to kill you. That is exactly what you need to do. Go ahead, speak to the king. So Rashi understands that what he's warning her not to be afraid of doing, and that she doesn't have a right to be afraid of doing, is going before the king. And that's what Hachareish Hachareishi means. If you're silent, if you don't protest. So when you think about this conversation, it's really wild. Obviously, Esther is not on the ground. She's not speaking to the people as readily and as closely as Mordechai is. And Mordechai is in touch with what they're feeling and their fears. She is in an ivory tower. She only finds out about the details, it seems, you know, after the fact, after everyone else did. But forgive me, Mordechai he has the chutzpah to say to Esther that this is what's going through her head. That she's just going to sit back and say, you know what, I'm not taking a risk. Millions of Jews around the world, they're gonna die because of Haman's plot. But you know what, I just can't risk it. Can't risk it. You know, if I stay back and where I am, safe and sound, so I'll make it out alive, even if no one else does. That's what she's thinking. That's what Mordechai has the chutzpah to accuse Esther of thinking. To say to Esther, who do you think you are? Say to Mordechai, who are you? To accuse Esther tzaddikus. What tzaddikus? Like Esther wanted to be in that position. We know Esther did everything she could to avoid getting chosen by Achashverosh. All the other women spent a year in the beauty salon. We can't even fathom. What does that mean? Yeah, guys can't understand spending 10 minutes in the beauty salon. But a whole year? A whole year? What were they doing? Right? Not only that, but the Mefarshim point out, Batilokach, at the very end, when she finally is taken, it was against her will. They had to pick her up and throw her in front of the king. She was trying to run away in any way that she could. I think Rav Huttner writes, the famous Gemara that says that Esther was green. What does it mean she was green? My daughter asked me, what does it mean she was green? You don't often see green people. So he says that she was just so disgusted by the egotistical self-centeredness of all the other women who were just trying to get chosen, do everything they could to put themselves in the forefront and be selected. It was so detestable to her that, she just turned green. It was disgusting. So this is when Mordechai is coming to accuse of trying to cop out on the Jewish people. And not only that, we'll say, I admit I'm embellishing a little bit, but there's a Gemara in Megillah, New Gilman base. Tells us a little bit about who Esther was. What was her genetic makeup? What was on her birth certificate? And we know she was a descendant from Shaul. Where did Shaul come from? What Shevet? Remember Binyamin. Binyamin was the son of Rachel. The zchus that Rachel had to have descendants as great as Shaul, as Esther. The Gemara says because Rachel had a special need of tznis. What did she do? When she was put to the test to either embarrass Leah in front of the whole party, in front of Lavan's whole chevra, when she was switched at the chasana for Yaakov, so what did she do? Totally selfless, total self-sacrifice for her sister, for another yid. She gave up everything to be the mother of 12 shvatim. She gave it up for Leah. We're talking about the ultimate self-sacrifice, and it was in that zuchus of atznius that ultimately she had Esther. So Esther only existed, so to speak, because ingrained in her psyche, in her neshama, was this midah of being able to give up everything for Klal Yisrael. And this is what Mordechai is accusing of not willing to go in front of the king to save Klal Yisrael. Very hard to understand. Not my question. Not my question. It's actually Rav Huttner's question. And to drive it home, the way Rav Huttner says it, he says, "Hadvarim nishmam kichshad mechuar al Esther amah." What's mechuar? What's mechuar mean? It's disgusting. How could you say this to her? It's impossible. This is what it means. So let's take a step back. Hopefully we'll put something in context and it'll help us understand what Rav Huttner wants to tell us is really going on beneath the surface. And I have to give a lot of hakaras hatov to my friend Alex Abraham over here, who asked a question that got us spinning and ultimately led to this mahala. We were talking this year a week or two ago about the tainus that a chassan makes on the day of his chassana. Different pshatim, why a chassan fast? Could be because it's a form of tshuva. Day of the wedding is like a Yom Kippur for him. Another reason is that we're afraid he might drink a little too much and he won't be totally there mentally when it comes time to do the Kiddushin. Okay, it's a minute to fast. So Alex said, we saw Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman recommends that a chassan, on the day of his chassan, so there's an Indian for even someone who's fasting, Tainus Yachid, to say Anenu. And we say Anenu on a day like this because the whole tzibur. What's the lashon? Anenu Hashem b'yom tzom tani senu. Keep it sorrow gedol anachnu. So Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, keep it sorrow gedol anachnu. The chassan should say a bracha. Keep it sorrow gedol anachnu. Okay, you know, you're going to make all the jokes about marriage you want to make, chas v'shalom, okay? Don't make the jokes, because they're all wrong and they're all sheker. But to save it, so he's about to walk down to the chuppah. So Shlomo says, take those words out. So Alex said, I understand. Fine, I'll remove. But Anenu, B'yom Tzom Tani, say, who else is fasting? How many chasmas are at this hall? One in the morning, one in the afternoon, it's a book two. But how many chasan, B'yom Tzom Tani, say, and Anenu is also plural. This Shlomo, it's a Tani, so we're all fasting. Okay, I understand. But the Lashon Rabbim, Anenu, B'yom Tzom Tani, it seems very strange. Someone says, the Rishonim deal with this question already. Lav dafka by chasan, but it's relevant to someone who has a Tainus Chalom. He had a very disturbing dream the night before, so he fasts, or he's makabel a fast on himself for whatever tzara that he's facing, whatever he's davening for, whatever tshuva, b'chule, whatever tzara he's going through, he accepts a fast. So he's supposed to say anenu in Shema Kolenu there also at Mincha. And he says, Yom Tzom Tani, so what's the pshat? So the Ramah says, anachanami, those are still the words that you use. Anenu plural and Yom Tzom Tani Seinu plural. Now what's this based upon? So the Nosakim quoted Shuva in the Rajba. Rajba was asked the same question that Alex asked. Okay, Mama Shakash from the Rishonim. They asked the Rajba, is it appropriate to say Anenu on a personal fast? And the Rajba says yes. Because there's a concept, appears in the Gemara in Brachas, when you say Tzilas HaDerech, you're going somewhere. You always say Tzilas HaDerech in plural. Right? Shetolichen l'shalom, Sachichen l'shalom. The Gemara says you should always join up with the Tzibur. Rashi says, because if you join up with the tzibur, if you associate your tefillos with the tzibur, with the tefillos of Klal Yisrael, so then you'll be answered. What's pshat? You're going to be answered. So what I always understood, we find this in a number of places in halacha. For instance, a person not supposed to, let's say a person can't make the shul rosh shana morning. So the minyan that at 9 o'clock, you're not supposed to daven b'yichidus at 8. Why? The reason is because when Akash Baruch Hu has to look at all the tefillos together as a tzibur, they're all davening at the same time, so he's not going to be as picky, so to speak. But the schus of everyone together protects the individual. And when someone davens on their own, so they're relying on their own schus. So you know, that's why when we daven for a chola, we say, the soshar chol Yisrael, we don't want to single anyone out, because then, hey, you know, then you're counting on your own schusim, and I don't know about you, but I can say about myself, I'd rather not have to be put to the test when it's just my own account. So maybe that's a push-up trend we're also. If you daven for something, you should join up with everyone else also. So, l'chora, that's what the Ramah means here also. Anenu b'yom tzom taniseinu. It's not just me davening, everyone's davening. That's what the Rajba seems to say. But Achronim, like the Taz, the Imamish jump on the Ramah. First, for two reasons. Number one, if you look carefully at the Rajba is only answering one question. He says, Anenu. So to that, the Magen Avraham says, there's got to be someone else in the world who's fasting today. But b'yom tzom taniseinu, Taz is not so convinced. Taz says that if you look in that Rajba, the Rajba only said that joining up with the Tzibur helps you for Anenu. But in theory, as some suggest, some Rishonim, the Aguda, you should say Anenu biyom hatainis hazeh. Not specifically our tainis. It's a tainis. It's my tainis. I'm not associating that tainis with anyone else, because that's practical. Either you're fasting or not fasting. Anenu, everyone's davening, but biyom som taniseinu? Who exactly is this a fast day for other than myself? And for that reason, the Taz says, sorry, the Ramah is wrong. The Rajba should not be applied over here. And one should say, Anenu biyom hatainis hazeh. And the same thing would be true for a chasan. But nevertheless, that's not the case. And the pshat is, if you go back to the Darkei Moshe, Darkei Moshe, I think, addresses this. He says something which is mamish unbelievable. And I thank Alex, because before yesterday, I never would have even guessed about this. Quotes are over here on the bottom of the Chuvas of Rajba. The Lashon of the Darkei Moshe is that when you say B'yom Tzom Taniseinu, it means just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm asking you to accept my tefillos today on my Tainus, in the future, accept the Tanesim of other people as well when they fast. I mean, to say, look, if I'm going on a trip, so sometimes other people going on a trip also. Okay. So to use a plural, it's not just my trip, I'm diving great with. But Dr. Ramah, okay, maybe there is no one else fasting today. You're the only one. But here I am on my fast day, and I'm davening for other people so that when they fast on their own for whatever they're going through, Hashem should accept it to us. So what does that mean? So the pshat is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a lot of gifts. We have a lot of talents. We have a lot of skills. We're always supposed to channel them in the right direction for Avodas Hashem, to help other people. But one of the gifts we don't think of so often as an opportunity is the gift of tzara, the gift of pressure. the gift of intensity, of being in trouble. Midterm's coming up. Okay, so everyone here, I don't know which class it is, could be your bio, could be your accounting test. You know you're going to be up 3 o'clock in the morning. You'll make this year anyway, but you'll be up 3 o'clock in the morning before the Bechina, and it could be when you're at the test, it could be when you're studying, you just have like this moment of this like, Kadosh Baruch Hu, help me. You know, I gotta get through this. I don't get the material. I'm never gonna remember all this. I'm at the test and I'm just going blank. Kadosh Baruch Hu, help me. Right? So everyone feels those moments of pressure. And tzara. Tzara. Like any other. So what do you do with that? So you can take that moment in time and say, you know what? I'm daven for myself. But I also know that there are other people in Klal Yisrael, the guy sitting next to me, my roommate, another person in Shir, he's going to be going through that as well when he's at that test, when he's studying for whatever midterm, whatever final it is, that's difficult for him. And we talk so much about having achdus, so much about identifying with the problems that other people have in Klal Yisrael. But okay, in Lamaisa, Baruch Hashem, this person has cancer. I don't have cancer. This person is suffering because of a terrorist attack. I'm not. It's hard. It's hard to tap into that. But whatever tzaras we do have, whatever tzaras those are, we have to freeze for a moment and say, Hashem gave me this to recognize what difficult moments there are for other people and not just look at myself, not be so self-centered, but use that as a challenge, an opportunity to daven for another person as well. And you know what the Gemara says? The Gemara says, "Hamspal ba'ad chavero, v'hu tzarech lo'oso davar, hu nenetchi." When you daven for someone else, and you are suffering from the same thing, that you're lacking the same need that he is lacking as well, then you get answered first. What's pshat? It says it's like a school, it's a trick, like something's bothering me. I'm for something. Parnosa, shiduchim, job interview, whatever it is. It says you get answered first. Avram Avinu was blessed with a child because he davened for Avimelech, a Russia, that Avimelech should be healed, should be able to have children too. What's pshat? So Zuchter Putner, in a piece here in Purim, he says because a Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to tefillas from a broken heart. A person davens me ma'makim krasich Hashem, when I'm down in the depths, when I'm really feeling the crunch, that's a tefillah Hashem can't ignore. When you take that moment of tzar, and instead of just saying it's all about me, but you direct it, you donate, so to speak, that to somebody else, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, how could I possibly deprive him of the chesed that he gave to someone else, when really he had that tzar to maximize on his own, he capitalized it for someone else. He said, I know what that's like. I'm going to the job interview, and my friend also has a job interview next week. I feel that crunch. I'm nervous. I can't even keep my breakfast down. Because I know that guy's going to be going through it as well, I'm going to daven for him. But because how could I deny him of the same success, the same tool that he's asked for on his own? Unbelievable. Heard of Maisa a long time ago. Baruch Ber was the top Talmud of Chaim Soloveitchik. One of the greatest Rosh Yeshivas in the last 100 years. A revered Tzaddik, a Malach, his biography is called Rebbe Hadoma LaMalach. Okay, how many biographies carry a title like that? So the story goes when he's about 5-6 years old, he got into trouble. I don't know what that means exactly. Yeah, he took an extra cookie from the cookie jar. I don't know. His father sent him to his room. 20 minutes later, father knocks on the door. He's sitting in the corner. Father opens up the door and he comes a little closer. He's davening mincha. Little Rav Baruch Ber is davening mincha. His father said, I punish you. I sent you to your room. You'd be sitting here crying. Are you davening mincha? Like, you know, didn't you think about what you did wrong? Baruch Ber said, of course I was crying. But I said to myself, how often do I like have an outpouring of emotion? If I'm granted a chesed from Hashem, an outpouring of emotion, how could I not direct that in my tefillah? Because every other 364 days of the year, I davening mincha with no feeling. Just, you run through it. Here I have someone, let me channel that for a positive purpose. It's a very powerful mindset. And it means that when we feel something, whatever it is, a sensitivity to our own pain, we're using that as our example now, you got to use that as an opportunity, not just for yourself, but for everyone else who also reflects. So that's the Yom Tzom Tani Seinu. I'm going through the Torah that's Mechayev me to daven, but I'm going to make sure that everyone else who also will sometime soon or next week or a year from now feel that too, I'm gonna give them a little help as well. So Zuchter Putner, that's what's going on in the conversation between Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai is not accusing Esther, Chas v'Shalom, of being self-centered, of not being able to make the sacrifice on behalf of Klal Yisrael. He's saying to her, hello, wake up. You're not going to be saved. Haman's going to find that you're a Jew. Don't worry, you're not going to be safe. Everyone's going to be affected by this eventually. Think for a moment, you may be safe where you are right now, but when push comes to shove, when the Gezerah comes out, you're going to be suffering, you're going to be affected and impacted, and as much as at risk as anybody else, when that time comes. And when you take the moment to ponder that, to contemplate that, and aliven with inside of yourself the feeling that everyone else on the street is feeling too, and then you daven, then you'll be maximizing the opportunity for tefillah that you have, right? Because you know that so. Why is it? This doesn't work. This doesn't work, right? Because what does Mordechai say to her? Atacharishi, don't keep quiet. Don't think you shouldn't go to the king. No. What Mordechai is telling her is that your koach hatfilah right now, because of your chelek in the tzar, that's what's going to be matzliach. Zuck the Targum. Targum doesn't look like Rashi. The Targum says, Amar Mordechai, Orum im mishtak shesoke ve'idna hada v'lo tifgi al Yehudai. If you're quiet now and you're not tifgi, what does the Gemara say in Brachas? Ein pegia ella lashon tefila. He wasn't telling her al tacharishi, don't be quiet, don't go to Achashverosh to advocate for the Jews. Don't be quiet when you have an opportunity for davening where you're going to be affected by the same tzar as anybody else, and you can capitalize upon it for the success of the efforts to thwart Haman. So Rabosai, in short, Purim is a day of tefillah. Okay? We could talk about, we have another 45 minutes about why it's a day of tefillah. Everyone knows Purim is Kippurim, Yom Kippurim. There's a common denominator at the basic level of the tefillah. If a person doesn't chaperayim, the opportunity of Purim to daven, not just for themselves, there's a lot of things daven for yourself, but to remember that there's so many things that we go through and we only think about ourselves, but sometimes those are given to us as an opportunity to better recognize what other people need to. And when we take advantage of that chance to daven for others who we know will be sharing that same emotion that we have, so then that's ultimately the goal of a Jew. And that's ultimately what the Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh B'Zeh, that's what the Achdus of Purim is intended to engender. So be mindful of it. I have to be mindful of it. We all have to be mindful of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us through certain scenarios, certain troubles, and sometimes we're just given that trouble in order to be able to appreciate how we can help someone else when they're in that same plight. We should have a Frelich and Purim, everyone, and it should be a Simcha of Kedusha and Tara, Simcha Shel Mitzvah.
Shkayach, Shkayach. Does anyone want to dive in Mincha now? By ourselves? Yeah?
101.
We'll do 101. Fine.